Welcome to Dishing Daycare Dirt. I'm Shelley Cooper, owner of Lifelong Learners Child Development Centers in Downers Grove. We have a mission to ensure all children know they matter. We create experiences, have a blast while teaching, and show these kids love day in and day out. This podcast was created to be a resource for early childhood education teachers, but really, it's for anyone who interacts with young children. I'm so happy you pushed play today. So let's do this. So today on Dishing Daycare Dirt, we have Lindsay. Lindsay is a director at my larger center in Downers Grove, which is Lifelong Learners 212. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. Long time no see.
So Lindsay and I were just together and we had a conversation about teacher burnout. And we're like, this is a podcast recording. So we decided to kind of recreate the conversation. But first, I want you guys to get to know Lindsay a little bit. So Lindsay, tell us a little bit about you and your journey in early childhood and how you got here and why you're here.
Okay. So early childhood for me, I kind of knew really early on that that's what I wanted to do. Actually, my cousin Stacy used to run an at-home daycare at her home, and I would go and help her out when I was like 12 years old. And I was like, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. My cousin Stacy is actually really inspiring. She has four foster children, just a really great mom. And she kind of inspired me to be that positive force in a child's life. So, you know, that was like, I think I was maybe 12. From there, I took every child development class I could in high school. I went to vocational school my senior year for early childhood development and eventually got a scholarship to Waubonsie Community College for early childhood. So, really from a very young age, I started learning as much as I could just so that I could be a positive force for children. And I've worked in many different settings, from corporate-owned centers to family-owned centers. I was a nanny for a while, before and after school care. So I've been in the field for about 13 to 14 years on and off.
That's great.
And now I'm at Lifelong Learners.
Yeah. You know, you're kind of a unicorn because not many people know that early in life what they want to do. And it sounds like your path was a pretty straight path, where a lot of people have curvy, windy, loop-de-loops until they finally at some point find where they belong. But so it's great for you that you did that before, you know, at such an early age.
Yeah. And I did take some breaks from it, but I always find myself coming back to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, if your story really highlights why it's so important for us to get in front of the high school kids, you know, even if they're freshmen, even if they're 14, like they can start learning things so early and maybe we can get people to really want to be in this field.
Right. And I think that's the time when you really feel so passionate about things.
Yeah.
So if you can spark something for someone that young, they're going to take it and run with it.
Yeah. I agree. That's awesome. Okay. So what would you say, like, what is your why? Like, why do you get out of bed and come to work every day? I know you love to see me and all, but you know.
I do. I really do. That's a big factor. I think being with kids is one of the most fulfilling things. It is. It's very, it has a high reward. It does take a lot of energy, but it has a high reward. And I think it's such a needed thing. I think being a loving influence on a child can make the difference. Even when they're going through something really tough, family tragedies or stress, you know, they may have developmental delays that they have to deal with. But if you can be a loving person for them, that can be the difference between them going down a good path or going down a bad path. I really feel like it's one really positive person, one really loving person in your life can change your entire life.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like kids under age 5 are kind of like walking a tightrope.
And us as adults, we can either come and we can knock them over to the good side or we can knock them over to the bad side. Right. And it's a delicate, delicate situation. Like I don't think that everyone realizes how much an effect you have on a child's life. Just the words you say, the mm-hmm. look on your face, the tone, everything, body language, it all deeply, deeply affects them.
Right. And I think it's so important. And I don't know if the general public knows this, but this is common knowledge for us. For children, their personality is formed for the most part. The basis of their personality is formed by the time they're 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So that influences their perceptions of life. It mm-hmm. it affects everything. It affects mm-hmm. The lens that they see through. Right. So if we give them positive experiences and shape them to look at the world in a positive way, they'll take that through into adulthood.
Right.
However, if they have negative experiences mm-hmm. And negative perceptions, that right. can stay with them through adulthood also. Mm-hmm. It really takes a life event for them to maybe see, wow, this isn't working for me and I need to change. So right. if we can have a really great base for future people, these little children that are going to grow up to be adults one day that affect the world, mm-hmm. we can have a positive base for them to stand on.
Right.
I mean, that is so, so crucial.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. And I think too, like, I think we both have the same passion. We want to help kids. And, you know, a lot of times people will ask me, well, then why aren't you a teacher? And, you know, we both have been teachers and directly, you know, spent days with kids. And while we love it, I think there's too a bigger picture. Like for me, opening a daycare center, I went from in-home daycare 8 years where I could help 12 kids. And I loved it. But I just thought I could touch more lives if I opened a daycare center. So then I touched 24 kids. And then I thought, okay, well, no, I didn't think I was going to expand. I never thought I was going to expand. I had parents come to me who needed care for their babies who they already had, you know, kids in my daycare. So that's why I expanded, but it gave me the opportunity to touch 100 lives a day right. and train people, you know, to carry that on. So, you know, it's goes beyond just being a teacher. It goes yeah. to the people, you know, that train the teachers and all kinds of stuff. So.
Right. And where would you and I be if we didn't have the teachers and mentors in our life?
Right.
So now you get to be the mentor
right.
so that hopefully, you know, you're not just affecting the children that you personally teach. Now you're helping others to affect the children right. they go on to teach.
Right.
So it's, we still have our hands very much in the classroom, which is great. Yeah. But I think the common misperception is that when you're a teacher or you're a caregiver or you're a director, that you are caring for the child, but really you're caring for the families.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times I've had parents in my office crying about, you know, things that are going on with them. And, right. and you just feel like this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity to right. be that person that they need mm-hmm. to support them in this moment. So, yeah. I think that's really important too. We're not just supporting children, we're supporting families and the teachers that we mentor.
Yeah. Yeah, a staff member actually had said to us the other day that more tears happen in our office. And I was like, what? Don't say that. This is a happy place. But it was a good thing. They were saying that it's a safe place. I know I can come in here and I can shed some tears and then I can go out and I can be the best that I can be.
Right.
So we're creating, it's a ripple effect. It's like, you know, we're setting the stage, doing everything we can for families and for staff. And then staff has to set the stage and do everything that they can for the kids and the families. And it's just like a ripple effect. So if we do good, then it expands and then it inspires other people to do good. So
perfect. Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's a perfect world. You know, the reality of it is that we have teachers that are borderline burning out. And that's what we're here to talk about today.
Yes. And it very much has to do with the importance of our job, I think. it is such an important job and it requires a lot of output. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm kind of like the barometer for maybe like the, like we talked about this morning, the awareness ribbon for mm-hmm. teacher burnout. I've been on both sides of the coin. Right. And of course, COVID has had a major effect on the industry mm-hmm. To the point that we were in a staffing crisis, not yeah. just a staffing shortage, but there were times when there weren't any applications to review. There weren't any interviews to be had.
And there's dark classrooms.
And yes, you end up closing classrooms because COVID has touched every single part of this industry. And it really takes some tough skin and some really strong personal resolve to shoulder that burden day in and day out.
Yeah. Which is why I think that in this field, why passion is super important, and really for teachers to kind of look inward and understand what their why is. Yeah. Why are they doing this job? Why are they coming to work every day? Because that why is what is going to get you through the tough times. So I think that teachers really have to look in and see like, why am I doing this? This job is not for everybody. It's not. It is a hard job. It's pretty much a thankless job. We try to do our best to show appreciation, but you know, you're in the confines of four walls all day. You have to ask to go to the bathroom. I mean, come on. It doesn't, you know, it's hard.
It's not for everybody. Incredible amounts of patience. You need incredible mm-hmm. amounts of energy and understanding. And just, yes. Yeah. And you really do have to love what you do, or it's, you are putting so much of yourself in every day that you have to find ways to fill your cup back up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel like there's nothing left to pour out because you're helping children through emotional times in their lives. You're helping them navigate through struggles of like, what does it mean to take turns? Especially right now, when some of these kids were born during a pandemic where it was not okay for them to socialize and they have to re-acclimate to being in a group setting.
Yeah.
So it's not even that they don't want to share or don't want to take turns or don't want to regulate their emotions. They've never practiced those skills.
Mm-hmm.
So you're starting from the very base level and trying to re-teach them how to be a member of a group. Right. And it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So it's very understandable for me when a teacher says, I'm just so exhausted. I'm so tired. I'm so burned out. I get that. I hear that. I feel that.
Right.
And just, I think one of the other things is through this pandemic, we've also, as teachers and caregivers, been turned into like some backwards way, like kind of medical professionals of some sort, where we're trying to diagnose things and do they have a fever? I don't know. Let's use this thermometer. No, let's check with this thermometer. Oh God, I feel so bad for this family because now they're going to have to quarantine. I know they can't afford that. So it's like the financial aspect of it and the burden on the family and the you're putting your own health at risk. And when you think about all those things, it's like, well, of course everybody's burned out. We're just burning ourselves to death.
Yeah. It's crazy. It is crazy. I mean, everything that you said is so accurate. And again, that is why I think that we have to have some sort of an idea of why we're doing what we're doing in order to get through those tough times, because it is an emotionally draining job. And actually, some of the rooms are physically demanding too. You know, when you're picking up 30-pound toddlers all the time, or, you know, it's hard. So it's physically, emotionally, mentally, but it's also probably the most rewarding job on the planet. You get to see daily the effects of what you're doing for a child. You know, but it's also, you have to be a naturally, it has to be something you want to do, because you can't need to put so much effort in, because that's so draining. So like, for example, if you have an amazing preschool teacher who just is effortless, does an amazing job, just unbelievable. And you put that teacher in the infant room, they're probably going to hate their job. They're probably going to struggle. If they don't, it takes more energy for them to get through the day in a setting that they don't really want to be in or that they don't shine in. Right. So I kind of compare that situation to somebody who is in early childhood, but doesn't have a passion for it. Doesn't know why they're there. Doesn't really know. They're just going through the motions. And that kind of person, it takes more energy to get through the day than if a person knows what their why is, or a person is extremely passionate about it. It's more effortless.
Right. I agree. And I think that's such an important thing. There's a quote that I love that is, it's from a movie. But the quote is, the most important thing a soldier can take into battle is the reason why.
Yeah.
And while we're not in battle,
I know. Someday.
Sometimes it feels like it. Sometimes it feels like it.
Right. But the COVID battle, oh my gosh.
It is. It's truly like second guessing every single decision you make.
Yeah, it's hard.
So why do I keep continuing to do those things? Well, because it is so rewarding, like you mentioned. When you've been working on a skill with a child and they get it and then they burst with joy. Oh my God, if your heart doesn't just overflow, then your heart might not be beating.
But like,
honestly,
those
moments when a child who would snatch a toy from a friend finally says, can I have a turn?
Or
I was using that. You can have a turn when I'm done. My God, you're just like so proud. You could just burst into tears.
Yeah.
Those are big moments. Those are skills that you're going to see later on in life.
Right.
And definitely when they enter kindergarten, first grade, all the way through their elementary years, they're going to need those skills.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to understand the age group you're working with, because there are so many nuances in this early, in these early years that, like you said, another reason for burnout can be maybe you're not in the right classroom.
Yeah.
Because teaching a classroom of 3-year-olds is completely different than teaching tots. I just kind of equate it to, like, let's say you're going to the gym and you had every intention of doing restorative yoga and you ended up in a CrossFit class. Like, it'd be like, what do I even do? How do I start?
Yeah.
You have to be in the right place for you.
For sure. You know, I think too, one thing that can also cause burnout is lack of knowledge. So if you're in a classroom and you're expecting children to do X, Y, and Z, but that's not developmentally appropriate for them, they will never do X, Y, and Z. And if you don't understand that and then adjust your expectations, you are going to burn out, because you're going to be every day disappointed because these kids are not living up to your standard. But in reality, they never could, because it's not appropriate for that age. So I think too, just educating ourselves on what is developmentally appropriate for certain ages and really how to address different situations. You know, we had talked earlier about kind of avoiding conflict, because if we get into a control struggle with a 3-year-old, we will lose every time, every time. But if you give them the illusion that they're in control, you're probably going to win every time.
Right. Choice is such a powerful thing.
And that goes back to knowledge.
Yes. And you have to be willing to learn those new things. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned earlier today, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Right.
I think sometimes we get blinders on and we're like, this should work. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to try doing it harder.
Yeah.
But that's not always going to work.
Right.
So if it's not working, stop. Just stop. Mm-hmm. What else can I do?
Yes.
I always try to, when I'm in a classroom, think about, okay, what am I doing that is going to cause a different behavior?
Right.
So what can I do differently? This child is struggling to meet this expectation. What can I put in place to make that more tolerable for them? If it's a choice, like, do you want to sit down at this table or this table? Would you like to sit down next to me?
Right.
Your expectation is, I want this child to sit down at a table. Mm-hmm. You can give them the choice. Do you want to sit here or here?
Right. Or would you like to count to five and then sit? Or sit now? There's so many ways you can do it. And honestly, that's probably one of the reasons I started this podcast, is really to help teachers with tips on how to be better in their classroom, educate them on different things, you know, I mean, because you don't know what you don't know. So a new teacher, we've got a lot of new teachers in our building. We cannot expect them to operate as a teacher who's been teaching for 15 years. There's little tricks that you just don't know until you see someone do it, or until someone says, hey, have you tried this? And, but the most important thing I think for a teacher is that you are willing to try anything. And I mean, really try. I don't mean, oh yeah, I'll try that one time, it didn't work. No, you got to try at least 15, 20 times in order for a child under the age of five to get it and understand. I mean, repetition is key. We cannot give up after the first or second try.
Right. And being that 15-year veteran, you have to still be willing to admit there might be a different way that I don't know yet. And I'm going to educate myself to find out how I can do this differently to get a better result.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing that we have to talk about, because of so many staffing issues, we do have a lot of new people to the field that it doesn't come naturally to them. If you take someone who was a cashier at Target and put them in a classroom of toddlers, they're not going to even have the first clue what nuances. For instance, toddlers don't know how to share. Maybe they don't know that. Maybe they don't know that this is where we learn it. And you literally have to talk them through it and say, Bobby, I can see that you want that toy and Tommy has it. Can you tell him I want to turn?
Right.
Those are all things that we as veterans know and we're naturally doing. But a person that's coming from a retail job into the classroom isn't going to know how to facilitate that. Mm-hmm. So for those veterans, I'm sure it's extremely frustrating as you see someone say, you know, trying to navigate that situation, a co-teacher that doesn't know what they're doing, and you feel like now you have to teach them how to teach the children.
Right.
So that's extra expenditure for those veterans where they're like, oh my God, if I only had a co-teacher that knew what to do.
Yeah.
And it's a new, maybe not a new challenge, but it is a more pronounced challenge now that we are welcoming new people into the field that don't have an early childhood background.
Yeah.
That can cause burnout.
I do think, just on the flip side of that, your mindset plays a lot in that. Because as you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking, I think I would rather have the Target cashier that knows nothing, because then I can mold them into what I want them to be.
Right. Instead, and that's a mindset thing. You have to have that mindset. Yeah. Like, I get to teach them in a way that's going to be helpful to me.
Yes. Instead of somebody who comes in and is like, well, that's not how I've done it, and has an opinion about everything, and is not flexible. I look at that as an opportunity to make this person what I want them to be.
Right. So, and to your point, mindset can be the difference between you burning out and spending a frustrating amount of energy and sitting back and taking a minute and thinking, okay, if I teach them this and show them and model that this is how you do it, they're going to pick up on that and they're going to start initiating on their own.
Right.
And then, now we've got it. And it's that aha moment, not just with the kids, but an aha moment with someone that you're training.
Yeah.
So those can be equally fulfilling. Yeah. I mean, how many times do you and I go, oh my God, have you seen the progress in so-and-so since we had a meeting with them?
Yeah.
Those are great moments for us.
Yeah, I agree. And I always try to tell teachers that when you have a conversation with me, it is, I personally, in the way I think about it, just at Lifelong Learners, I've never had a bad conversation with someone. I mean, well, I have had a lot of couple, but the people that are there now, I have never had a bad conversation from my perspective. I've given feedback. And for me, mistakes are good. Mistakes are a part of life. You learn from them. as long as you are not making the same mistakes over and over again, then we're good. Like, a mistake was made. We talked about it. We talked about why we could have, how we could have done something better. That is not a negative conversation. And I don't ever want my employees to think that, because I expect people to make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time, but I promise you I learn from them.
Right. And how do you learn from them best? When you make your biggest mistake, you're like, I'm never going to do that again.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I never want my employees to think that making a mistake or, you know, not taking a risk. I want them to feel free to make decisions in their classroom. And if it is the wrong decision, I will support them and tell them, you know what? We probably could have done something a little better, but it's okay. You're not going to be in trouble. The only way you're ever going to get in trouble with me is if you are doing something to a child that is not right.
That's harmful. Right.
Other than that, we make mistakes. We just right. do.
And we learn from it.
Yeah.
I think something that we can all benefit from, I think I sent you the clip. I can't remember the motivational speaker, but there was a motivational speaker that was talking about your reactions when an event happens. And your natural response is you kick on that fight or flight. And he was talking about, imagine that the energy is traveling from, you know, the front of your head down your spine. Mm-hmm. So if you take a minute to let that sensation hit you, I'm taking in the experience, but I'm going to take a breath and let that sensation go through me, hit the bottom of my spine and come back up into my brain so that I can think about it.
Yes.
My reaction is going to be a lot better than if I just react immediately. I think people need to take that moment.
Yeah.
Something happens, your immediate frustration and response might not be warranted.
Mm-hmm.
Take a second,
right.
take a breath, and then respond.
Right.
And you might get a better result and maybe not have to clean up the aftermath of a bad reaction.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think that if you just take everything with an open mind and just have, you know, not negative reactions to feedback, your life in all areas are going to be so much better, because that's the only way to grow is to get feedback.
Right. And I think for you, I've noticed in you that your response to most challenges is to grow. And I think that's one of the things I admire most about you, because you don't let burnout get you, because you're constantly like, okay, that's a challenge. Now, how can I learn to overcome it?
Yeah.
So I aspire to that myself. I think more people could benefit from constant learning and growth.
Yeah.
That's why we're called lifelong learners.
Yeah,
it doesn't stop when you stop going to school.
Yeah.
You're still going to have to learn to adapt. You're still going to have to pull from somewhere inside you and overcome challenges.
Absolutely. You know, I think that, you know, to what you were saying is that it's really your mindset. It's how you look at things. So if you have a problem or a challenge, how do you look at it? Do you look at it like, oh my God, I do not want to do this. I don't know how to do this. This is dumb. Or do you say, okay, I've never done this before, but I'm gonna figure it out. Might be a pain.
Try something.
Yeah. But this task has been given to me for a reason.
Right.
I
think that one of the things that I find has burned me out in these moments is other people's burnout. So when other people have a really negative response and you're constantly saying, like, come on, guys, we can do it. Come on, we can do it. Like, rise to the occasion. You can get there. You can do it. And you have some negative people around you going, I've tried that. I don't want to do that. I'm already doing so much.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can pull me down. And not sometimes. A lot of times that pulls me down when there's just a collective negative energy.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to surround yourself with people who have a positive outlook.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be most like the people that are around you.
Yeah.
Surrounding yourself with someone who's always in a bad mood, mm-hmm. and you find yourself in a bad mood, well, maybe you need to surround yourself with someone who's in a good mood.
Right.
Or pick your, you know, pull your socks up and be that person in a good mood.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think
the difference between a good day and a bad day.
Yeah. We're all human. So we're all going to have really good moments. And we're all going to have some down moments. And for those people that need sometimes a little pep talk, that's understandable. But for those people that are always stressed out, always need something, always that you feel like you're always under them trying to lift them up, that to me says they are not in the right position, because your good moments should be more than your bad moments. So, and I don't think that people understand, you know, I think we counted today, we have 38 teachers. So we can't have to constantly give pep talks to 38 people at the same time. So what we need is people that are in here for the right reasons, love their job, and then we help them when they're having moments. It can't be that every day is an issue. It could be that, you know what, we had a bad moment today, or this week was a bad week, but it's not for, you know, 36 weeks.
Right.
It's moments. We all have moments.
Yeah. And it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be that right. person that comes in the office and cries. Cause I've definitely been the person in the office crying on occasion.
And it's every day.
Not every day. Usually not every day. Just kidding. It just, you have to acknowledge how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. I like when, so Ms. Margaret is one of our TUS teachers, and she's probably one of the wisest people I've ever met. Mm-hmm. But she relates her reactions to things to that of the children. And she says, I surround myself with the children all day. And so I act like the children. I cry and throw my fit, and then I get over it.
Yeah.
And it's really a healthy way to be, you know, have your fit in private. If you can, please don't do it in front of the children.
Right.
Cry it out if you need to, but then like take a breath and figure it out. Like we got to keep going.
Yeah. And to know yourself, you know what works for you. So if you need to have your little tantrum to get over it, know that about yourself and take 5 minutes to go in the break room. Or if you're feeling burnt out, you need to look and you need to say, what things burn me out? How can I eliminate these things? How can I make this better? It's all of our responsibilities to take responsibility for our own burnout. We can help you. You know, you and I can help teachers, but not unless we know what is specifically burning them out, because it's not the same for everybody. What burns me out is not what burns you out. And it's not what burns out, you know, Teresa or Margaret or Brooke or any of our teachers. Everybody has something different. So it's their responsibility to tell us, listen, I'm getting burned out. These are the things that I struggle with. Help me.
Right.
And then we can help. But we can't just go around and guess at what's out.
I think we had mentioned this morning, something that we hear often is teachers don't get paid enough, which is 100% true. Teachers don't get paid enough. But I liked what you said this morning about if I ask you what burns you out and you say, I don't make enough money, then you're not in the right field. Mm-hmm. And it's really true, because your situation is going to be the same regardless of what you make while you're doing it. So if you're in a stressful situation, if I give you a dollar more an hour, you're still going to be in a stressful situation with, you know, a couple more dollars in your pocket.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's not saying that teachers get paid enough. Absolutely not. Because early childhood education teachers should get paid exactly what elementary education teachers get paid. I'm adamant about that. And I don't understand how it's figured in any other way. You know, you have looked at our financials, you know, the situation, and you know that that is not something that any childcare center could accommodate. I don't even think a franchise would be able to accommodate, you know, $50,000, $60,000 salaries for, you know, 40 staff. We need some public funding for that. And, you know, that's a whole nother subject, but yeah, you're right. The dollar an hour would make it nice, or $2 more an hour would make it nice for these teachers. But it is not going to take away their burnout, because those things that are burning them out will still be there.
Right. And we have to understand that certain challenges are just par for the course.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting burned out because you have so many diapers to change, or because you have so many mm-hmm. runny noses, or because kids keep screaming, those are indicative of the job.
Exactly.
You have to know what you signed up for.
Yep.
Just know in your heart, I'm going to have to change diapers. Kids are going to throw up. Kids are going to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. These things are very grating.
Yeah. But
it is going to be something you deal with on a daily basis. If that's something that's going to push you over the edge, then that's not the job for you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Looking inward. You know, it's like the things that you don't like about your job, can they be changed? Can they be managed? And only you can answer those things. Because to me, like when I was in the classroom, diapers weren't a big deal to me. It didn't bother me, but some people it would, you know, so right. You have to decide.
I actually enjoy doing diapers. I think it's really kind of fun because you get that one-on-one time.
Yeah.
And you've said the same thing. You know, you sing to them, you'd be silly with them, and you know, yeah. You ask them, where's your belly button? And then they poke their belly button and giggle. And it's just,
yeah.
I love that one-on-one time with kids. But for some people, it right. is not their jam. They're never going to like it.
And that's okay. So, that's yeah. okay. The key is knowing that about yourself.
Right. I always say, there's a difference between, you know, having a good fit. Mm-hmm. And being qualified for the job, because on paper you can be qualified and still not be a good fit.
Yep.
So you have to be able to put in practice the things that you've been taught. Mm-hmm. And you have to know your limits. Some people are a great fit for older kids and not so much for younger kids. Some teachers are great with babies and just can't relate to, you know, 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's yep. okay.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Okay. Well, you were approaching the 45-minute mark, so we
oh
should.
My God, it's been long.
I know, right? Yeah. So I did want to ask you one thing before we go. So what is the best piece of advice you've ever received? It could be professional or personal.
I think what I try to live by as far as my work ethic, is in relation to your drive and in relation to your, if you, your desires and getting what you want out of it. And the quote is actually from Chris Hardwick, who's a comedian. And he said, what are you prepared to do after you've done all you're expected to do? Let me try that again. What are you prepared to do after you've done all you've been expected to do? So what are you prepared to do once you've met all your expectations? Huh? Are you prepared to go above and beyond? Because that's what's going to carry you to your next destination.
I love that. Along those lines, I can't remember who said this, but basically it was that successful people are successful because they do everything that nobody else wants to do.
Right. You're going to have to do the hard job. Yeah. If you want to make it to the next step, you got to do the hard job.
You know, they say they get up early when everybody else sleeps in. They are working late at night. They, you know, put in the time. They're reading a book instead of surfing the internet and right. all different things. And, but yeah, it comes down to what you're willing to do.
Right. And yeah. I believe in that, in your personal life and in your professional life. What are you willing to do after you've done all of that is expected for you to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. All right, Lindsay. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And I'm sure I'll have you on again another time. But I just thought teacher burnout is something we really need to talk about for sure. Yes,
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And we'll continue to rise to the occasion and help people get over it. Or help ourselves get over it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for all you do. I really appreciate it. I hit the jackpot the day that I hired you, honestly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, you really have taken so much off my plate and have really, really helped.
Well, it gives me happiness. And I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't believe in your message and your cause. So this is a great fit for me and I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. I hope you found value in today's content. New episodes drop the first and third Mondays of the month. Don't forget to like us and subscribe. We love feedback, so tell us what you want to learn about. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please contact us at lifelonglearners212@gmail.com. In the meantime, go out and be the difference.